You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And look, I will be honest with you, and I hope you don't mind my saying
this. It's not too harsh of a punishment, because we want to make sure that all of our students are
pointing at the gun at kids.
So I've been warned. And if I crack down the pages, I will be...
Stop crying, you sniveling ass. Stop your nonsense.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Every night here, through the looking glass, we go where truth is our bitch on this show. And let me tell you what, we go places where other talk shows wish they could, where other television shows wish they could, where other movies wish they could. And if it wasn't for me, there wouldn't be no Borat.
Yeah!
All right, 877-876-PHIL. And our website, philhendryshow.com. That's Phil Hendry Show. Hold on. I'm just reaching for a little news story here in our printer. 877-876-PHIL. Our website is philhendryshow.com. Right now, there's live streaming video of the show. I'm looking at my... Well, I ain't much to look at, but when we start the show and we actually begin performing this show, it's the only radio show actually worth watching. So get a backstage pass, watch the show, listen to the archives, listen to the downloads, listen to our podcasts, read our news feed, stay involved in the world of, the Phil Hendry Show, because it's a worthwhile pursuit when you've got, you know, when you're using your entertainment time, okay, when you've got your downtime going. 877-876-PHIL. Dean Wheeler was scheduled to be on the program earlier in the week, and we had to bump him for a variety of different news stories. We do have Dean from the Northern California Holistic Center on the line with us tonight. We're going to talk about Glenn Beck. Most recently, the story today is that Glenn Beck is ill. He's going to be taking some time off to take care of some physical problems. And we actually had scheduled you, Dean, to be on the program with us to talk about the One Nation rally.
That's correct, yes.
And we did not have the time for that. But I think the time is right, because Glenn... was the primary motivator of the One Nation rally, which was a rally of progressive groups. Why don't you tell me what you think in your mind the One Nation rally was?
Well, I know that it was a representation of the progressive ideal and voter in America. Ed Schultz, who had been criticized for making the comment that he could get as many people to a rally as Glenn Beck, were he given the same or even part of the same amount of time to organize it, that's exactly what Ed Schultz was able to do. And many of the union groups were represented. What we saw at the One Nation rally, and I'm going to preface my remark, Phil, with to allude to what you just said. We certainly don't wish Glenn Beck any ill. We hope that he's not seriously ill.
Absolutely.
And that goes without saying, and that's not what it's about. We know he's a father and a husband, and we wish him well physically. We want a healthy Glenn Beck to come back and jump feet first into this into the fight for truth in America, because that really is what this is all about, truth. And what we saw on last weekend, Phil, was the truth. The voters of America, the American people, are overwhelmingly progressive people who are behind President Obama 100%.
All right, now that let's interrupt for just a second here, Dean, because the rally last week quoted a great many people who say they support the president, but they're disappointed with him.
That was very interesting how they represented those people. I did not hear of any such comments. What I heard were people 100% lockstep behind President Obama. What you're referring to might have been the same dynamic that we've seen Tea Party people claim when we see these witch doctor posters, when we see these Hitler posters, and when we see these blatantly racist depictions of the president. And they always say, oh, well, that's a minority. You're going to have to expect that. Well, that's what we say about the people that criticize Barack Obama.
But you don't know that that's the case.
Oh, well, I guess the Tea Party people don't know whether they have racists that populate their movement in a significant number or not. But we're going to say what they said when people had that boogeyman poster. They said those people don't represent us.
And I take them at their word. I take them at their word. So I'll take you at your word. You believe that the people who are progressive, who say they voted for President Obama but don't support what he's doing, you think they are in the minority.
But not only in the minority, they're an extremist branch. They are strange people. I put them in the exact same camp as the people with the witch doctor posters in the Tea Party movement. I think they are almost disturbed. I think that they are bigots.
Well, wait a minute. If they voted, what kind of bigots are we talking about?
I mean that they are bigoted from the standpoint of never blaming themselves for having voted for someone that they shouldn't have voted for. Or they're plants by the Republicans.
Do you think some of the witch doctor posters and Hitler posters at the Tea Party are plants by progressives?
I certainly do not.
All right, well then why would you think that these people are plants by Republicans or conservatives?
Because that's what they do. The dirty trick is what they do. You have to be a little bit more sophisticated and be involved in the political planning and processing, as I have, Phil, for almost three decades, to understand that the Republicans wrote the book on the dirty trick, and the conservatives have picked up on it. Now, the reason why this is of interest is because Glenn Beck has said that he is not feeling well. And I wanted to say on your program here tonight, and I'm hopeful that there will be others who will echo what I'm saying. Excuse me. I'm going to get a drink of water.
Certainly. We're with Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center, and we're talking about the the reality of the voter, the reality of the political think in America. You all right, Dean?
Yeah, I'm fine. Go ahead.
Well, you're saying that the American people are soundly behind President Obama because your rally last week proves it.
Yes, and the Glenn Beck rally was a rally by a television personality who was giving away T-shirts and giving away coffee mugs. Whenever you have any kind of rally or gathering of people that has been created by a media figure or a radio station or television station, it is almost a sure bet that the people are gathering in part because they're going to get something for free. In the case of Glenn Beck, there were people out there wearing the T-shirts he was giving out and the coffee mugs and these tchotchke things that they give out. We didn't give anything out at the One Nation rally. So we had 100% support for President Obama, and the Glenn Beck rally was, I would say, at best 50% support for conservative ideals, and the other 50% were there to simply go and get his autograph and get one of his T-shirts. That is the reason.
Now, you know, I've been in media for a long time.
But that's the reality, Phil. That's the reality.
All right. I've been in the entertainment end of media for a long time. I know that we have remote broadcasts, I know that we do personal appearances, and I know that people like to get free things. What you're telling me is this rally by Glenn Beck was a rally primarily of fans as opposed to the One Nation rally you had last weekend, a rally primarily of supporters for President Obama.
That is exactly what people are missing, and that's what I'm saying. And that's why we are confident that our rally last weekend was overwhelmingly the expression of real popular sentiment in this country, and not just people who drove. I think you mentioned a couple from Wisconsin who drove to get a Glenn Beck T-shirt. We know these stories.
Well, those people had claimed they'd been out of work. They were very politically motivated.
Well, we know these stories of people who get in their car and drive for miles to go get an autograph. That's what you had at the Glenn Beck rally.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number on the Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL. So President Obama supporters are more populist. Glenn Beck supporters simply want an autograph and a coffee mug. You're saying that because, therefore, whatever movement there is behind Glenn, it's not a real political movement.
No, by no stretch of the imagination is it a real political movement. It's a movement of people who follow him to get his autograph on his book. and get a bobblehead doll.
Now, the people that are going to Tea Party events, the people that were at that rally, Glenn's rally, and listened to the speakers and watched the other people involved, they know that they have a certain sentiment about America.
Glenn Beck, Phil, has taken off for medical reasons, okay? I don't doubt that his medical condition is the result of a strain that he's undergoing, having to carry on his shoulders a movement of people that he knows have been essentially duped with free books and coffee mugs and bumper stickers.
So that's what I'm saying. You think that the Tea Party movement...
Not so much the Tea Party movement, but a big portion of it. Much, much bigger than we think. And that's why when you take the 100% of people who went to our rally and you put that up against the 50% of the people that went to the Glenn Beck rally, we win. What happened at the Glenn Beck rally is the other 50% were there to get bumper stickers and chapstick and whatever they give out.
That's a lot of people showing up for a personal appearance to get freebies, you know.
But they wanted to see Glenn, and they wanted to get an autograph and have him autograph their T-shirt. And you've been to those events. You've seen the girls. They want to have him autograph their brassiere or something like that. I mean, you can have all the fun you want, Mr. Beck, and we certainly hope that you feel better. But your little movement where women want you to autograph their underwear and you give away bumper stickers, that's not a political movement. That's not a patriotic movement. The patriotic movement was the One Nation rally in the National Mall on Saturday. And we are, I'll tell you what, I think we finally showed our numbers there.
All right, Dean Wheeler with us, 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. The basic premise here is that Glenn's numbers at his rally were fortified or filled out by just fans looking for, looking to see him.
You're looking to see him, but you can't, you also have to not underestimate the fact he's giving away T-shirts and bumper stickers. That's what gets them out there. There wouldn't have been half the number of people, maybe, that Glenn Beck got. You can have that number if he wasn't giving away keychains and CDs and things like this.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the Tea Party movement, or at least the number of people that showed up in the Capitol Mall. Is that really just a mirage? Most of those people looking for free T-shirts, bumper stickers, and an autographed book from Glenn Beck, whereas the One Nation rally, the liberal rally last weekend, is the real deal, liberals and progressives rallying behind President Obama. Your thoughts, 877-876-PHIL. Back with Dean Wheeler in a moment here on this Friday night on the world-famous, groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Well, I'll let you comment on that. 877-876-PHIL. Welcome back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show with me, Dean Wheeler, from the Northern California Holistic Center. We're talking about last week's One Nation rally. We've finally been able to get Dean on the air. We had an awful lot of business to take care of this week, and we kept having to push him. And I think it is fortuitous to have you on, Dean, because Glenn Beck has announced he's taking some time off. But before we get back to your contention that the One Nation rally represents the real America and Glenn's rally was just 50% fans looking for free T-shirts, I want you to comment. You want me to comment on something I was saying?
Well, I heard you talking about Ed Schultz during the commercial break. You said he is not a very talented man. And
if you heard everything that I said, though, was that I don't think that Ed's a talented man, but I think he's an amazing, I think he's done a lot with what he's got, man. He's done a lot. He found a market before Air America. Before there was ever an Air America, Ed identified there's no liberal voice, and he went out and he did that.
And what about Alex Jones?
Well, you can't tell me that you think Alex Jones. Alex is a fantastic marketer and a great. He's a carny. I mean, he's selling his CDs about 9/11 truth.
Well, I feel the reason why I brought that up is to tell your audience that this is what's wrong with our country. The media bias against the liberal voice that last week was so resoundingly present in our nation's capital, and the willingness to allow Glenn Beck to sneak away just a few weeks before an election. Hello? Okay, Phil?
Okay, meaning what?
Meaning Glenn Beck's going off to hide. Ed Schultz is out there.
Glenn Beck says that he needs a doctor to look at him, and I take him at his word.
Well, I find the timing very interesting.
Not everything is a conspiracy. Okay.
I'm not saying a conspiracy. I'm saying that I find it very interesting that Mr. Beck has decided to take this amount of time off to go and have his feet looked at, which I think is laughable. He needs to have his feet looked at while Republicans are going to be covered in a shroud of blood and fire.
Oh, boy.
Well, I'm very much looking forward to this election.
I can tell, sir. 877-876. Republicans will be covered in a shroud of blood and fire. 877-876-PHIL. Hi, Lisa. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dean Wheeler. We talk about Glenn Beck, Ed Schultz, and the relative value of the two rallies, I guess. Go ahead, Lisa.
Wow. Hello from Nashville, Tennessee. And let me tell you, I don't know who this guy is I'm actually listening to, but I tell you, Glenn Beck is not the leader. He's a beacon. His rallying light that brings us together.
Our T-shirts. T-shirts and chapstick.
Wait. You've been talking. Do I get a moment here?
Yes, you do. But I just want the beacon are free coffee cups and bumper stickers.
Let's let the lady finish.
So here's what I want to say. The people that went.
I want to ask you, Lisa. This is Phil, Lisa. I want you to keep that phone near your mouth because you're fading in and out. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm on a houseboat. So let me tell you, as far as the Tea Party and the conservative movement goes, which, by the way, I'm a lesbian living in Nashville. I should be a liberal, but I'm not because I don't like how this country's being run. I don't believe in socialism.
Oh my God. You're a lesbian and you are voting for Glenn Beck?
I'm not voting for Glenn Beck. I'm voting for conservative. Excuse me. I'm not voting for Glenn Beck. I'm voting for conservative measures in this country that don't spend it to the hell brick of everything. I will tell you this. Glenn Beck, as far as he goes, he's not the point. The point is you can't spend your way out of bankruptcy, and that's where we're at.
Let's say I agree with you, but the fact is we have a larger movement than the conservatives.
You ship in busload and busload of union members that you pay to show up at a rally that trash them all. When conservatives come there to put our feet down, act respectably, and leave it clean as a pin. What's up with that, man? What's up with that?
Excuse me. You know what I'd like to say to that?
You so I
don't know the truth of that because there were Glenn Beck bumper stickers and T-shirts laying everywhere.
You can look at the pictures.
People
you can
smell
the
cannabis
pictures.
Smoke.
Wait a minute. I don't want to hear anything about cannabis smoke. Hold on, for Mr. Wheeler. Nobody got arrested for marijuana possession.
Well, the anecdotal evidence is that there was a very heavy cloud of marijuana smoke up near the stage.
Oh,
I
my
you know
God.
What that means.
Oh, come on.
Hey, dude. You're misdirection. Misdirection.
Look, let's stick to the point. Let's stick to the point. The point that Mr. Wheeler was making, I want Lisa to address. He's saying that the larger body of voters in support is with President Obama, that the Tea Party people and the Glenn Beck people are more fan people who go out to get books signed. Comment on that, Lisa?
Like, we could care. Yeah. I don't even have a bumper sticker on my car, and I work 6 days a week. How about the people that work for this country, that pay their taxes, that aren't working for some bust-in union people to get paid to go stand there and hold a sign? Come on. Get out of your ivory tower and get down.
You have to believe that. I'm on the. You have to believe that. You have to vilify the people that were in that movement because you can't take the idea that there were more of them there, and the only reason you turned out to get a free chapstick.
No, she didn't. She didn't. Lisa, we're going to have to take a break, but I think you made some good points, and we do have to break. 877-876 Phil Dean Wheeler, the One Nation rally, the Glenn Beck rally. How many people really do represent each movement? And Dean said there are more people on the side of President Obama. 877-876 Phil, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, my God.
Phil Hendry.
Oh, my God, a lesbian?
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And we're online as well at philhendryshow.com. If you want to watch a live-streaming video of the show, you can do that. We're at, as I mentioned, philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. You can look at me right now doing the show. You can also listen to the audio. You can get the download tomorrow on our site or at iTunes. We have our mini podcast as well as our classic Phil. It's there at philhendryshow.com. With Dean Wheeler here from the Northern California Holistic Center. We're talking about the One Nation rally last weekend and Glenn Beck's rally. Your point, Dean, about the vacation time?
Well, no. The point that I was, but you and I were talking about how they criticized President Obama for taking time off. Glenn Beck is taking time off to go and have his feet looked at. Or one can only hope that somebody who I support will come up with something a little more inventive when they decide they want to run away from covering an election that might, come out badly for them.
All indications are conservatives are going to do very well.
Well, all indications are now that conservatives are not as strong as they were. The point is, though, we have a lot of people on our side who are not going to rallies looking for a free tour jacket, a free Glenn Beck carrying case or whatever they give out.
I don't know if Glenn was giving all that stuff away.
They always give that kind of thing away at these events that are fronted by television or radio personalities. And this is something I would hope you don't.
877-876-PHIL. We'll take your phone calls here, and let's go to San Francisco, Hayward, California. Listening on KNEW is Ray. Ray, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, hi, thank you. And I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I had to pull over the road when I heard Mr. Dean, I believe, saying that people came to Washington for keychains and the Beck rally.
A significant part of them.
That is
not all of them. A significant part of them. Not all of them, no.
Okay, but 500,000 people, they came to voice an opinion that this administration is taking this country down the drain with its progressive, socialistic viewpoints and its czars and everything. I mean, can't you see that? Your rally, One Nation, was people holding up communist signs, socialist signs.
And you have 90%
were on welfare.
And you have witch doctor signs.
90% of those people are on welfare.
And 90% of your people are probably racists. You want me to continue to make those ridiculous
claims? There you go. You're always going
to
talk about something else.
There you go. Yeah, there you go with 90% on welfare. You can't prove that 90% of those people are on welfare. So why would you say something like that? My name is not Janine. My name isn't Janine. It's Dean.
He said Dean.
No, I'm not. If you want me to listen, then don't make claims like 90% are on welfare. No, I'm not going to listen to that.
You cannot digest. You cannot digest when people come for a purpose to bring this nation back to God, a foundation where spirituality needs to be revived.
What are you talking about? I may not. I'm an American first, sir, and a Christian second. I believe in the Constitution, and it is only the Constitution that protects your Christianity. And I will say this once again. If you say there's 90% there who are on welfare, I say about half of your people were there to get a Glenn Beck pair of Glenn Beck sunglasses.
Oh, I see. And you're talking like a child.
I want to ask a question, Dean. Where is your evidence of Glenn Beck sunglasses?
If you looked at that broadcast as I did, I saw the Glenn Beck T-shirts. I saw one woman with a T-top, a pink I Love Glenn. And they were doing
one person out of 500,000.
A friend of mine said they had lines going down the mall for these. Lines going down the mall for balloons and Glenn Beck hats.
Obama supporter. Your friend's Obama supporter. Sure, he'll say anything.
Oh, I see. So anybody who says something against you must be a Obama supporter. Or this was on TV. They had Glenn Beck straw hats.
How do you know they weren't giving this stuff away for free?
Right. Giving it away for free? I don't think so.
One Nation would not have, maybe they would have had 2,000 or 3,000 people if they were not bussed in, given food, given credit for high school. I mean, you know, and taken off, you know, they were paying a lot of those people coming
all
in.
All lies told by Glenn Beck. And no wonder he's taking time off, because I'd hate to have to be him and answer for those lies. Instead, we're here, Ed Schultz will be there, and he'll be going door to door. And only then will we have bumper stickers, not at some rally.
What do you mean bumper stickers when?
At the polling on Election Day. Of course we'd have bumper stickers then.
All right. Thank you, Ray, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Jack in Yakima, Washington, listening on KBBO. Go ahead, Jack. You're on the air with Dean Wheeler.
Hi. Yeah, I think yes. It's kind of this Wheeler guy, whatever his name is kind of missing the point because...
My name is Dean.
It doesn't have anything to do with the most people who showed up at a rally or anything. The people, the Tea Party, the people right now are not behind Obama. They're not even, a lot of them, they don't care.
Republican, Democrat.
They're looking for good, honest politicians to represent them. And that's what they're looking for right now. I know a lot of people
here I talk
to.
And free T-shirts.
And
why do you keep saying the free T-shirts? If you say that there's free T-shirts and you say there's free straw hats and you saw these where?
I saw, and ask anybody listening, the souvenir stands, Glenn Beck merchandise.
It doesn't matter what happened at the rally. And besides, there's an X amount of people. I've been on radio.
They wouldn't have gotten that many people if they weren't giving away T-shirts.
There's only a small amount of people who show up for all the freebie stuff, and you'll find out when people go to the polls and vote that they're not supporting Obama or the other people behind him. I talk to people here, including my daughter. My daughter voted for Obama. She's a strong Obama supporter. She's 22, and now she laughs that she voted for him, and you couldn't. She goes, Dad, you're right. I was wrong.
Excuse me, I hate to say this, but that shows the relative intelligence of your daughter. I mean, I hate to say that, but if she doesn't really know why she votes for people, you're using that as an example of intelligence. I would use that as an example without a backbone. They don't have a backbone.
Well, wait a minute. Let's not. If you're using one vote, the idea of the rally, Glenn, Dean, when you're talking about all of these people. As opposed to Glenn's rally, you're making the argument there wouldn't have been as many people at Glenn's rally were they not giving away things. So what are we saying here? Because there was free merchandise, that's the only reason why they were interested to go see Glenn Beck?
I think that, yes.
No, I watch Glenn Beck on TV, and I don't get a free T-shirt or anything else.
You get a free TV show.
I get free entertainment, you're a moron.
You must be laughing because you don't even know why you made the phone call, do you? Everything you've said,
I made the phone call because people are tired of your PC liberal stuff, and it's going to show up.
And they're tired of your Tea Party and your voodoo economics, and your Glenn Beck, who's... What do you think about your boy running away right at the election time?
I really would like you to give me some ideas of why you think he's running away. The man says he's got physical problems that he needs to have checked out.
Yeah, real convenient that it's around election time.
Hey, this whole thing isn't about you. It isn't about Glenn Beck. It isn't about this other guy you talk about. It's about the people being tired of how they've been treated, and it's going to show up at the polls. It's going to show up at the polls.
You hope.
And you can make it about anything you want. But what it's about is people are tired of being abused, and they're going to vote.
Oh, you're so abused. You know, you got your free Glenn Beck T-shirt. I don't have a free Glenn Beck T-shirt. I think you probably got a closet full of that stuff. Straw hats.
You're right.
T-shirt.
All right. Thank you very much for your call, Jack. I think you've made your point.
No, I haven't. The point is, Phil, and that people are missing it, and it's a great, I think I'm making a great point, that the Tea Party conservative movement is filled with people who were attracted to it because, yes, they're tired of taxes, but, oh, yeah, do you have anything free to give me? And it makes sense. Those two things dovetail together. I'm tired of paying so many taxes. Well, here's a straw hat. Now I'm really tired of paying. Well, here's a T-shirt. And more and more and more until finally you get Glenn's autograph. And for some of these females, and Glenn's a happily married man, but if he were not, for some of these females, oh, and I even get to sleep with him. I'm sorry.
Well, that's uncalled for.
I'm sorry. But you know that that's how it works.
No, I don't know that that's how it works. And that's uncalled for. 877-876-PHIL. Bob in Wichita, Kansas. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dean Wheeler. Go ahead, sir.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah. I have listened to Glenn Beck before. I'm a truck driver. And I honestly feel like the people who go to rallies, they go to them because they want to, irregardless of what side of the fence you're on. And even though I don't know what their sheer numbers were, that's what I'm kind of interested in, to see what the sheer numbers were, irregardless of whether they're there to get a T-shirt or you know, just listen to the man speak. I can only speak for myself that whether you're sitting behind the wheel of a truck or sitting behind your desk, people who listen to the man on the radio, where they're sure that there ain't no freebies being handed out. We do that of our own free will, and there's a few million of us that listen to the man on the radio. So
that's true. That's true. I'll tell you this, Bob. You say there's no freebies. What about all the steaks he gives away? Yeah.
That's Sean Hannity.
I'm sorry?
That Sean Hannity gives away the steaks.
Well, what's the difference between that? The same kind of guy. He's giving away steaks, pork chops, which I find offensive. Don't you, sir? Is it Bob? Don't you find that offensive that a guy's giving away pork chops to your wife while you're on the road?
My connection on this end is pretty bad. Have a good one.
Yeah, mine's bad too, Bob. Thank you very much. That was a horrible connection. Gentleman is mobile. Say that again.
What's there to say? You know, Glenn Beck is giving away steaks. That man said that Glenn Beck doesn't give away things on the radio. Steaks, cuts of meat. And you know, what is amazing, Phil, is that the stations allow it. The FCC hasn't interceded. There are husbands all over the country that think it's wonderful that this man is giving away meat in the middle of the day to a primarily female audience. And America, the conservatives, think it's all very classy. I think it's, you know...
Well, I think you're reading into it something that you...
No, I'm not. Trust me.
877-876-PHIL. Let's move on to Dan. Dan, listening to us on WEEO in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Dan.
Yes, I just want to make a quick point. You got a half a million people showing up for a rally. You really believe that out of a half a million people, half of them people show up just to get bumper stickers and free items? Way too many people for just a few of them people to show up to get free stuff when they can go to glennbeck.com and easily buy that stuff. It just makes no
sense. That's true, but you can't get it autographed. You can't get it autographed. And what they do is they want the merchandise, which you're absolutely right, you can get, but then they stand in line and wait for them to autograph it. That's
what you don't get. People show up for rallies with that many people to support the person hosting the rally. They don't show up for the free
many
stuff.
Of them. Not all of them. Many of them show up for the reason you said. But also about 50% show up for straw hats.
You're telling me if you were a fan of your favorite person, no matter celebrity or whoever it is, with a half a million people, you would just show up to get free stuff. I highly doubt it.
I told you I'd show up to have it autographed. To meet him, in other words. So you have the people that you're talking about.
You think Glenn Beck's going to sit there and autograph half a million people's merchandise or items or whatever they have?
Sir, if you'll pardon me, you're not listening. I didn't say a half a million. I said 50% of that half million That's 250,000.
That's 250,000
show up to get
people.
to get chapstick and keychain.
250,000 people.
You're right. You're right. He's not. But those 250,000 people don't know it, now, do they?
And that 250,000 people ain't gonna come to a big rally like that to get free stuff. They're coming to a rally to show their support of what
your
cause is.
You're saying that they won't do that, and yet I'm telling you that they did. Because we got a 500,000 people, and we didn't give away jack. We didn't give away anything. And we got all kinds of people.
Well, there are people claiming that you gave away bus rides.
Well, that's all hokum. They can't prove that. And yet I have the videotape evidence of Glenn Beck signing a woman's... All right, you want me to say it? He was signing a woman's bra.
Signing a woman's bra. I don't believe that for a minute.
Mr. Henry?
I don't believe for a minute at a rally that was supposed to be about bringing God back into the lives of Americans, Glenn signing women's brassieres.
Well, then you lie with the fact. You go ahead and argue with the image. Because there's a clear television image of Mr. Beck signing a woman's bare.
Bare?
You got it.
I don't believe it.
I know you don't believe it. You and this gentleman from Pennsylvania. You guys don't believe anything that it just rocks your little worldview.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with Dean Wheeler in just a moment.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
He signed a woman's ass.
Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL on the line with me is Dean Wheeler. We'll go to another phone call here as we talk over the last few minutes about, really, I guess we're asking on leading up to the election, did those rallies mean anything? Did the Glenn Beck rally mean anything? Did the One Nation rally mean anything? You know, why were the people there? Was it about, you know, star power? You claim that it was.
In the case of Glenn Beck, I do, Phil. And
you make the claim, the outrageous claim, that it was on television, Glenn Beck signing women's brassieres. Did you see that?
The signing of a brassiere is a de rigueur act in these media events of television, radio, or music personalities.
It may be what you consider to be de rigueur. Did you see that, or did anyone see it?
I can assure you.
Well, no, you can't. I've been in the media for 30 years, so I know what, you know, goes on. Did you see any Glenn signing a woman's bra?
I know that there have been times at radio station events that I went to, I saw the disc jockey sign women's underwear and their rear end, their bare rear ends, I think it is very logical to believe that Glenn Beck did the same.
I don't think it's logical at all, given the reason why everybody was rallying. 877-876-PHIL. On another phone call here, John, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, John.
Well, thank you for taking my call, and I'd like to say I can't believe you're taking this guy serious. Listen, I'm a small business owner, and I'm a taxpayer, not a taker, and I believe in Glenn Beck, and because he stands behind the people and what people do.
Not Glenn Beck. His name's Beck.
Glenn
Beck.
You're right.
Not
Glenn Beck.
Beck.
Oh, is that how you like
wait
to
a minute.
Things out?
No, sir. I don't know who you're talking about. When you say a man's name is Peck, you might be talking
Glenn
to someone else.
Beck. B-E-C-K. Is that okay with you?
I don't know how he spells it.
All right. We're talking about the same gentleman. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, John.
You got it. Okay, so like I was saying...
Am I all right? You're the guy calling him Black Peck. Yeah, I'm fine.
Oh,
I'm fine.
You know,
you
resort to, like, childish little games that seem to...
Yeah,
like,
we don't have to do that. Exactly. The man... We know who the gentleman's talking about.
I know who I'm talking about, Phil. When the gentleman calls up and says somebody by the name of Peck, I don't know.
I know who he's talking about. Go ahead, John.
Well, like I was saying, I'm a taxpayer, and I think that Glenn Beck is very knowledgeable about what's happening in this country. And I am also concerned about what's happening in this country. And you don't seem, you just like to play games with, like, signing bras, and who cares about that stuff? Seriously.
Are you aware that this man that you trust so much, Glenn Beck, was a disc jockey at one time on the Morning Zoo show signing women's breasts? Now he's your leader in some marvelous moral crusade, and that's wonderful. But the man at the very heart of it is still an entertainer, and if some girl takes her bra off and says, would you sign my you-know-what, you going to turn that down? You know, no man alive is going to say no to that.
Oh, come on. What, you know what? You're making assumptions that we don't know that any of this stuff happened. And I'll tell you something else. If you're talking about a savvy guy, if a woman takes her bra off at a rally where we're bringing ourselves back to God and asks, will you sign my breast, I got money on it, says he'll say no.
Really? Okay. I don't know any normal man that could say no to that.
Well, like the gentleman was saying, it's a childish point of view.
I am saying no. And you can't deny this. This man's a businessman. You are too, Mr. Hendry. People don't go to things for freebies. Yes, they do. And if Glenn Beck is at the Capitol Mall giving away, they give away these car wash coupons. I don't know if you've ever seen that. You get money off for a car wash. That's what they do.
Phil Hendry.
How do I know?
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I've been warned, and if I crack down the pictures, I will be...
And look, I will be honest with you, and I hope you don't mind my saying this.
I don't have anyone that doesn't want me to run.
Ladies and gentlemen, electric cars are gay.
I got the sucker.
I hate Barack Obama.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, where we take it all the way through the looking glass to places other talk shows wish they could go.
And they can't.
Doug Danger joins us this hour to discuss a best Halloween movies for kid list that was put out by Parent Dish, plus the Dr. Green Thumb Report this hour. 877-876-PHIL, our affiliate spotlight tonight, Austin, Texas, KJCE 1370 AM, and in Sarasota, Florida, WTMY 1280 AM. And we're very, very proud to have those stations on the Phil Hendry Network with us. Our website is philhendryshow.com. If you are not in the neighborhood of an affiliate, I suppose if you're watching us on the web right now, then you know if you happen to be picking us up someplace, driving across country, you can hear us. On our website, philhendryshow.com, you can get downloads over there. You can watch us on the video cast, and you can do it mobile, too. So if you have your Android phone, your Evo phone, you can be watching us right now as you are out and about on this Friday night at philhendryshow.com. And, of course, we have thousands of hours of archive material as well. So check it out, philhendryshow.com. All right, so there's a list. I'm going to get Doug Danger up from the Orange County Courier. Doug is the entertainment writer over there, and we're going to talk tonight about Halloween movies. For kids, and this is a list that was put up by, I think this is Parent Dish, Doug. Now, you, I know, were asked to review the list. Is that right?
Well, Phil, what I was asked to do, along with other principals, I suppose, in media, I'm a entertainment writer. We had some teachers there. We had behaviorists were there, and some other people, some television people were there, too. This is a list that's put out every year by ParentDish.com and AOL Family. And it's a list of the top of the 10 best Halloween movies for kids. It's going to get that will help them appreciate the holiday spirit without making them too scared. And they invite me because I'm a film writer. I'm also a gay man and a gay journalist, so I'm very honest because of the fact that I'm a gay man and a gay journalist that I've been through so much of the bigotry and prejudice that will other people, weaker people, will allow to affect them so that they do not speak the truth. I'm gay, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and so I found the courage within to speak the truth about what I see and what is good for the film viewer, as well as the person who is spending their very hard-earned dollar on the entertainment product.
Now, you didn't sit down, Doug, and watch... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How many movies are there?
10.
You didn't sit down and watch 10 movies, right?
No, we did not.
not, Phil. What we did see was a compendium. This was put together by the people there from the Anaheim Hills Parent Media Group that was moderating this and hosting this event. So we saw a compendium of scenes from different films, and at that point, then we gave our opinion following this compendium.
Now, the article that you wrote this morning was quite negative. It essentially was a slam on this parent media group. You said that they weren't thinking clearly. You said that they obviously don't have the best interests of the children involved. And I think the name of the article was Who's the Parent and Who's the Kid?
That's right. I mean, you could have had the kids pick the list for all the value that they had. I mean, they showed a basic... I'm gonna say this as honest. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so I've got to be honest. They were stupid with this list.
All right, I have the list. Tell me where I'm wrong or right, or where this goes wrong or right.
Well, understand, Phil. 9 of the 10 movies, I really don't have any problem with.
Why don't we read the list of the 9? Do you have it there?
I've got it here. Yeah, and I enjoyed the different scenes. The number one movie they had down was it's the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown, the wonderful children's Halloween movie. Pooh's Heffalump Halloween movie is a good movie. Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Some people have a problem with the Harry Potter series. I don't. It's a fantasy series, and to me, Halloween represents both scary and fantasy. Casper, a great children's Halloween movie. Monsters Incorporated. Which is one of those fabulously animated films from Disney Pixar. It's a fun Halloween movie for kids, and they can also learn from the film that scary things don't always turn out to be so terrifying. And the same thing with Casper. Scooby-Doo, which is it's a ghost hunter movie, you know, and it's a fantasy movie, too. And again, I think that falls into my criteria, which is the following thing. It has to have some element of fantasy. Scooby-Doo, we don't think of Scooby-Doo as scary, but he is this sort of unusual dog, shall we say, you know.
Right.
And the Addams Family, which I think is self-explanatory, Beetlejuice, and The Nightmare Before Christmas, which is a Tim Burton movie. It's pretty dark, but I think it's appropriate for kids. The movie, though, that I immediately asked the companion, here's what the problem was about. Number 8, they have as E.T. the Extraterrestrial. When Ann Schelder got us all together after we looked at this compendium, she made a mistake. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and you don't ever make this mistake. And I've been writing about movies for a long time. She made a mistake that, in the sense that I mean fatal, it was fatal in that she wrote her own epitaph. There was no way I was going to write about this event and give it a good, clean bill of health. At the end of this presentation, she said, are there any comments or questions? And I had my hand up, and she said, the gentleman from the Orange County Courier, Mr. Danger, I said, Ann, of the 10 films you presented tonight, you've only presented 9 that are fantasy or Halloween per se. One of them is a science fiction. And
That would be E.T., yeah.
Absolutely, it's E.T. E.T.'s a science fiction. E.T.'s not a fantasy movie. Some people may think it's a fantasy that life is on another planet, but the possibility of life on another planet, I don't think anybody discounts. But we certainly do discount the possibility that there's ghouls and gremlins and goblins and all of this. This is more or less the stuff of man's mythic fear, whereas the creature, you know, something that looks like a... like that thing, you know, comes into your house or whatever, it's eating Reese's Pieces. I don't know what it did. But anyway, so I said to her, that's a science fiction. And let me give you my reasons why I say that. I said it is an extraterrestrial. It lands on this planet. It clearly has a vehicle that it traveled to this planet in. There are Confederates or compatriots aboard that. It is some kind of a scientific investigation, a scientific mission that this vessel is on. It lands on our Earth. This creature is left because of some mix-up or miscalculation, and hence we see the survival mechanism of this creature, and the compassion of the human species kicks in. And I said, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I can tell you right now, I know what I'm talking about. I said, so that's a science fiction. It is not a horror movie. And she made the fatal error of saying, thank you very much for your comment. Any other questions? Okay.
So she didn't...
Yeah, she... I just got done... See, my time's valuable. I'm going to go down to Anaheim Hills and sit down with a bunch of people for, you know, eat donuts and drink coffee or whatever and watch some slew of kid movies. I don't care. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. But I went ahead and I did it because my editor said it'd be a nice thing to do. And I go down there, and they showed me 9 Halloween movies. They didn't show me 10. 9. And I sat down with that Ann Shelter, and I also sat down with Dale Forrester, who I think you know from...
I know Dale from Film Festival.
Yeah. And I said to him, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Okay, that's number one. Number two, E.T. ain't no horror movie. And, of course, he gives me ink. And I said, oh, come on, I'm in a hurry. He goes, I'll take it under advisement. Anything else? So that's the second time. So I had no choice.
Well, you came back and you wrote an article for the Orange County Courier saying that this was a... You called it a fraud. You called it was a time-wasting fraud perpetrated by, quote, something called the Anaheim Hills Parent Media Group, end of quote. You made it very clear, you write in your article, I made it clear that because of my sexual orientation as a gay man and my profession as a gay journalist, I had walked down the long road of bigotry and prejudice, so I knew what I was talking about, and I was not afraid of the truth. I'm just quoting here, Doug.
Go ahead.
When it came to movie number 8, clearly a science fiction, I'd had it up to here. When the showing was ended, I raised my hand and talked to Ann Shelter, a woman who looks to be in her late 30s with thick ankles and a strip mall nail job. I mean, that's not necessary, is it?
No, excuse me? You're talking about me, right? I'm talking about...
No, you're describing the lady that... a woman with thick ankles and a strip mall nail job.
That's exactly what I wrote. I'm getting my time. Wait, this is not about... Okay, I can see. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. This ain't about me. It's about the people that brought me down there to look at so-called horror movies, and they slipped in a science fiction in much the same way you drop a roofie into some woman's drink. Not you, but guys like you.
Guys like me.
Phil, don't make it about you, okay?
Well, what are you talking about now, man? What are you talking about?
I told this guy, as a gay man and a gay journalist, I want horror movies, or you're wasting my time. And they slip in this E.T.
All right, and it looks to me like what the argument is here, and we'll take some phone calls. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier about a film... Well, really, a compendium of movies you were asked to comment on, Halloween movies for kids. And you say that there were only, of the 10, there were only 9 Halloween movies. One was a science fiction. And when you brought it up to the woman who moderated it, she said, thank you very much. Any other questions?
That's right. And where I warrant being insulted, I don't know. Why she felt empowered to spit in my face the way she did, I don't know.
Well, when she says, thank you very much, are there any other questions, I don't know that is... necessarily spitting in your face.
Well, I think you know what I'm talking about.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Doug Danger on Halloween movies for kids. 9 of these movies, Doug says, are horror movies, but one of them's a science fiction. Thus, it didn't belong in this list. Thus, the Anaheim Hills Parent Media Group lied to him and misused his time. And then we're rude to him by saying, thank you very much. Are there any other questions? They kind of blew him off. We'll talk to Doug more about this when we come back. 877-876-PHIL on this Friday night talking about Halloween movies for kids. Is E.T. a Halloween movie for a kid or a science fiction movie for a kid? We'll be right back.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, don't make it something that's like it's not a big deal.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And the movies, too.
Yeah, well, that's what they got to do.
Doug Danger joins us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, the film critic for the Orange County Courier, on a group of Halloween movies rated the top 10 Halloween movies for kids. Now, you went out and you saw this, the Anaheim Parent Media Group, Anaheim Hills?
Anaheim Hills, Phil. The Parent Media Group took me out there, as they did other people, to watch a compendium of these movies, get our comments. And they've got a collection of films that are Halloween movies for children, with the exception of one. It was a science fiction called E.T. It is not a Halloween movie. So right there, the Anaheim Hills Parent Media Group showed a very disquieting and disturbing lack of concern for truth, as if they would lie to children. I'll stand for anything. I'll stand for anything. But you lie to a kid. And I'm not, not only do I not want to have anything to do with you, but I'm not going to do anything to help you either. And I told her that as I was leaving.
Now, you're talking about this woman, Ann Shelter, who you claim was very rude to you.
It's not a claim. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I said to her, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. You got one science fiction in there. Thank you very much. Are there any other questions? When I went to leave, I said the same thing to this guy she was sitting with, some effeminate guy named Frank, or I forget his name, and he said, is there anything else? So I said, oh, you know what? You don't know what you two people have done, but what you've basically done is you've taken out a shovel, dug a 6x10, and jumped into it. Because when I get done with you, and that's what I did. Now, they're going to be asking me for their help throughout this month of October to try to publicize the Halloween movies, and I'm not going to give it to them. I'm not going to publicize anything that they've got to say, and I'll tell you why. They're homophobes. They hate queers, and I'll say it as bluntly as I can.
Now, hold on, because I haven't heard you say anything.
Bill, we always get into this. This is the thing. This is one of the things I love about you. You never, ever will give me the benefit of the doubt and take my side.
Wait a minute, man. That's not the case. If you'll just help me, maybe I will. Where did they show obvious homophobia?
Let me tell you something, my friend. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
I understand that, but you said that they hate queers. You put it that way.
That's right. That's right. And I'll tell you why I think that, as if it isn't blatantly obvious to anybody with any education at all. When I said to them, you got a science fiction movie in there, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. She looked at me like I had just grown out of one of those seed pods from, Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Like there was a lot of foam around me, and I had just been created out of something that looked like a Brussels sprout. And I remember looking behind me, like, is she looking at some kind of a mutant that's sitting behind me? No, she's looking at me. And I said, are you okay? She goes, thank you. Are there any other questions?
Wait a minute. I just want to be clear myself on something, all right?
No, I just explained it to you.
No, hold on for a minute. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Did you say to me just now and to my audience that when you said to her, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and you've got one science fiction movie in there, she looked at you like some kind of a freak?
Right. She looked at me like I was the monster from the horror, movie. And I remember, I looked behind me. I turned around, I looked, I said, is she looking at something behind, is there somebody behind me with a misshapen face? And she said, thank you. Any other questions? Now, Phil, I write for the Orange County Courier. I took time out of my day to go down to their little Halloween movie festival. I made my point. My time's valuable. I'm the entertainment writer. I'm Doug Danger, gay man and gay journalist. I said to her, here is my read on this. Thank you. Any other questions?
Is it because you don't feel that you were respected?
Yes, damn right it is.
No, but beyond the homophobia, is it because you feel that you were disrespected? Your time is valuable.
My time is valuable. I'm valuable. My writing is valuable. My profession is valuable. Everything about me is valuable. And I'm down there in Anaheim Hills at a public library sitting there watching, what was this one movie I think I just mentioned to you? Monsters Incorporated. And frankly, it's a kid's movie, but if I were a child, I would be offended that people think I'm that simple-minded and stupid. What was the name of this movie? Pooh's Heffalump Halloween movie, that thing. If I were a three-year-old child and they threw that on in front of me, I'd be insulted, even though I'm three.
877-876-PHIL is our number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, talking to Doug Danger about the ParentDish.com top list of the best 10 movies for Halloween for children. And I think, first of all, it's a good service they're providing, and we want to know what are good movies for our young children. These are movies obviously not intended, I don't think, for adolescents. I think these are for smaller children. The fact that they had E.T. in there seems to be at the very center of your complaint with this group.
Well, my complaint with the Anaheim Hills parent group is that she says to me, thank you, any other questions? My complaint with Parent Dish is that they simply, they don't know what they're talking about. They never have known what they're talking about, and they always put a list out like this, that as I said, were I a 3- or 4-year-old, I would be very, very, very offended, and I'd want to speak to somebody about it.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me go over to a phone call here. Robert in San Francisco. Robert, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Doug Danger.
Hey. I want to know, what's this guy's deal? Like, hey, why do you think you're better than everybody else because you're a gay man and a gay journalist?
Well,
like, you're sitting there
discrediting.
No, you're sitting.
Right now, I think I'm better than you, for instance, because I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, because I've been down a tough road. And I've learned how to deal with people who want to put me down for what I am. You know, and I can stand up for
you think you can speak the truth, discrediting companies because they slip a quote-unquote science fiction movie into a Halloween list because you're
exactly
a gay
right.
straight man.
No,
like, look,
I didn't
you're
say straight.
Yourself
I'm
on
a gay man.
Pedestal because
I'm
you're
a gay,
gay
man
straight,
and a gay journalist.
Like, gay
Why
journalist.
Did you say straight? Why did you say straight? I didn't say I'm straight. I said I'm gay.
That's what I
did. Somebody slip you a roofie? What I'm saying is...
All right, we got to take a break. Thank you for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. More with Doug Danger in a moment.
Phil Hendry.
Wow.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL, also online tonight at philhendryshow.com, and our affiliates across the country, including some brand-new affiliates. And we have with us Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier, invited to witness a compendium of films, top 10 Halloween movies for children, at the Anaheim Hills Parent Media Group. And you saw that they had included E.T. when you pointed that out to the group. This was a point of departure between you and the group, and that it became even worse. Now, you're not going to promote their group at all. You've even gone so far as to say they've slipped in movies that are stupid and injurious to children. You guys are really at odds.
Absolutely, Phil. Let me tell you something. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. When I said to them, E.T. is a science fiction, and the lady with the fat ankles, I forget her name,
And the idea that you call this woman somebody with fat ankles and strip mall nail job, you know.
Excuse me? I'm talking about the name of the woman.
This Ann Shelter?
Yes, that's the woman. And I said, yeah, E.T.'s a science fiction. I figured that's a slam dunk. I figured when I said that, everybody in the room would then pay attention to what I've got to say, know me as a film critic. They'd forget the questions or the comments they had because they'd know the game's on. And the big dog's in town, and move over, let the big dog eat. And so I said, yeah, thank you, E.T. is a science fiction. And I didn't even look up. I kept on writing in my notepad, figuring, even though she had kind of a stupid look on her face, she'd at least acknowledge that that was right. Instead, as I was writing in my notebook, and I wasn't really writing anything, I was making it look like I was writing, so it would look like I didn't really care what she had to say, I hear her say, thank you very much, any other questions? And that, you could probably hear the lead on the pencil I was using break. As I remember pressing down extra hard, that's how angry I was, and it broke the pencil almost in half. And that's when I said, okay, it's on now. I'm not going to help you with anything. I don't care if you people, if your little group here with your Halloween movies, and I even said to that guy as I was leaving, not that he cared. He wasn't even looking at me. When I said, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and Casper the Friendly Ghost insults the intelligence of every 2-year-old in America. And he's just sitting there.
877-876-PHIL. Here on the Phil Hendry Show, Maria in Brooklyn, New York, listening on WWRL. You're on with Dean Wheeler. Maria, go ahead, please.
Yes, I think that these gay men and gay journalists need to understand that, you know, all the time we're going to be looked at funny, and he's just whining. He should know that that's how it is, and he should not be complaining so much.
Oh, really? So I'm supposed to tell your child, Maria, that E.T. is a horror movie, not a science fiction. That's a lie. I can't do it. I'm not capable.
Why not? I mean, you know that you're going to be looked at funny.
Oh, look at you calling me a queer.
Well, you called yourself a queer.
Gay journalist.
All right. Oh, gay man and gay journalist. Only I get to say queer. No straight people. And as far as, you may think it's funny, ma'am, and that's good for you, but when I say I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, that means that I tell the truth. And when I say E.T. ain't a horror movie, it's not a horror movie.
I think you're just whining.
You know, I can hear you laugh. Is that what you're doing? You're laughing, aren't you? I can hear you laughing. And if I were a straight man, that would anger me. Because I'm a gay man, I don't care.
Yeah, you care, all right. I can hear it in your voice. And what's this stuff about how you're pretending like you didn't care what the lady said, and when she said, are there any other questions, the pencil broke?
You are just, you know, she just ended the conversation. That's it.
What?
There was nothing else to say.
Wait a minute. If you've got a list that you advertise as the top horror movies for little tiny kids, okay, and you say, these are good horror movies to show little tiny kids at Halloween, okay, great. And then you slip in a science fiction the same way some guy might slip a roofie into your drink.
That's the second time you've used that analogy. I don't like that.
Well, you know what I'm saying, Phil. I think that's wrong. And I said so to this woman with the fat ankles and her effeminate partner. But if you don't care, Maria, that's fine. If you want your kids to sit around watching E.T. and think it's a horror movie, huh? What is that? Horror movie?
No,
I understand that.
You are just, you know, a whiny gay man, gay journalist. That's it.
Let me tell you something. I can bring any guy you know. I can bring it. Don't worry. I'll throw down with anybody. Don't worry about it, honey.
Okay, great. Maria, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. There's no need to be rude.
How was I rude?
The honey thing? I don't appreciate that.
I didn't call you honey.
I understand, but I don't appreciate that. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Dave in New Hampshire. Dave, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing, Phil?
Fine.
Listen, Doug, I understand, you know, seriously, who cares about your sexuality? You're trying to do a job. You're out there going to this thing. But I don't know whether you remember this movie. I'm 40 years old, and I haven't watched E.T. in a lifetime. But the kids go trick-or-treating in the movie. Halloween is part of that movie. So it makes sense
that
it's in a Halloween. It makes perfect sense. I don't see what the big deal is that they threw E.T. into a children's film festival that's supposed to be at all Halloween. How is that insulting?
I'll tell you why. Because Halloween movies are about ghouls and ghosts. If, for instance, a Halloween movie is simply a movie that takes place at Halloween time, well, then why not just have a, like any movie that's got nothing to do with anything other than Halloween? That's not scary.
Okay, but hang on.
What?
Just for a second, hear me out. I'm not, because I don't want to get into it. You know, I'm not here to call you names or talk about your ankles or whatever it is. But, if the kids go trick-or-treating in the movie, they have to dress up in the movie. Halloween is part of the movie. It doesn't insult me that that's in the Halloween thing. If I took my kid, I don't think my kid would have a problem with watching E.T. amongst other Halloween movies where kids dress up or whatever. It's Halloween for kids. It's at a library, right?
No, you don't understand. You don't understand. You see, you want me to tell your... I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so that guys like you probably don't like it. You,
listen, Doug,
well, you
care.
You do.
I don't care.
You do.
I don't care.
Yeah, you do. Yeah,
I don't
yes,
care
you do.
If you're purple.
You want to know why? Because if I lie to your kid and say E.T.'s a Halloween movie, then you're going to turn around and...
6, Phil. Charlie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, first I want to say I'm not a gay man and I'm not a gay journalist. I want to get that out in the open because it seems
who
to be particularly important to talk about.
Who cares?
And I need to understand, Doug, what your issue is. The woman asked if there's any questions, and you stated, you made a statement, and then you looked away. So if I'm that woman, I'm first perplexed that you didn't ask a question. And
because
then you
the
question,
no, I made a statement. I made a statement. I don't need to ask a question. She's got nothing to tell me. I'm telling her. And I told her, E.T., look, I've already made my statement, Mr. Hendry. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I dealt with all the homophobes from New Hampshire. And
hold on for a minute. What's the problem?
Well, the problem is I keep getting the same question over and over again. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. E.T.'s a science fiction. When they didn't do anything about it, I said, I'll ruin you. I'll ruin all of you.
And that's it, huh? No discussion, no nothing.
That's it.
Help me understand what your sexuality has to do with what they asked you to do with kids' movies.
Why are you interested? Let me tell you something.
My
sexuality is important for me to express because I want everybody to know that when I give an opinion, I give it as a gay man and a gay journalist.
Now, straight people don't do that. Your sexuality.
Yeah, all the time. Straight people are talking about their sexuality all the time, man. All the time. Okay.
I don't know. I'm talking about mine.
You can beg to differ all you want, man, but you don't, you know, you ain't me, you ain't coming from where I'm coming from, and, you know, tell you what, something else. Any day you want to talk about it, you just let me know where and when, okay?
All right, look, Doug, take it easy, all right?
I've had it, man. These guys don't think I can throw down. I'll throw down with any of these, this chump change, this guy, that guy in New Hampshire.
All right, just take it easy, okay? Take it easy. You made your point. They're not going to have, you know, you're not going to back up the Anaheim Hills thing. And, you know, and thank you very much, sir, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. And I don't know what your problem is.
You got some of the stupidest callers I've ever heard in my life. In my life, I've listened to talk shows. I've been around talk. I've never heard more individual stupid people lined up one after the other than on your show.
You know something, Doug? I have you on all the time with your gay man, gay journalist. Nobody else will have you on. You talk about being gay. You talk about this. You talk about that. And if you get a lot of people who are giving you pushback on that, that's the trade-off.
Yeah, but you've got some real idiots, man. I mean, real idiots. What do, man? Do you go out and canvas the gene pool in America and try to find people who... You know, specifically are descendant of inbreds and...
No, I don't do any of that stuff. You just don't like these people because they don't agree with you. And that's that. So go off and do your thing and destroy the Anaheim Parents Project.
Oh, here we go. Now, I'm the bad guy, huh?
Well, you're the guy that said that you wanted to ruin them because they wouldn't accept E.T., you know, your opinion on E.T.
That's not my opinion, man. I'm a gay man and a gay child. Let me ask you something. Have you seen E.T.?
Yeah.
Is that a science fiction?
Yeah, technically, I guess it is.
All right, then why don't you back me up?
Because the people have opinions. That one guy said it's a Halloween movie, too.
Just because some guy's got a trick-or-treat bag, don't make it a Halloween movie. A Halloween movie's a horror movie. I'm gay.
Poof!
Guess that'll settle it.
877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry.
Hello, Dr. Green Thumb. Paging Dr. Green Thumb.
Dr. Green Thumb report for tonight. Better late than never. Just in time, girlfriend calls 911 on pot-smoking beau. That's right, Lebanon, Missouri. Reported to us by KMBC Television. 35-year-old man is charged in Missouri with possessing marijuana after his girlfriend called 911 and said she was tired of him smoking dope all day instead of getting a job. That's right. Dispatchers in the southwestern Missouri town of Lebanon got a 911 hang-up call Saturday night after from a motel room. Oh, my God. They're like living in a motel. He's smoking dope all day. Boy, you picked a winner there, honey. Police said Ossifers went to the motel and were told by the woman that her boyfriend did nothing during the day but smoke weed. Yeah, and the Lebanon Daily Record reported that the man told police his girlfriend was angry because he didn't have a job yet. He then admitted having marijuana in his car and handed over a pipe containing the illegal drug. He was issued a summons for possession and released. Facebook co-founders give $170,000 to pro-pot measure. California's ballot measure to legalize marijuana has a new friend. Facebook co-founder Sean Parker has given $100,000 to back the proposal. Parker's donation was reported in Proposition 19 campaign finance filings this week. And he's not the first big Prop 19 donor with ties to the social networking site. Facebook co-founder Dustin Moskovitz had made two donations totaling $70,000, including a $50,000 contribution last month. Neither Parker nor Moskovitz are still with the Palo Alto-based Facebook, but both still have ownership stakes. Recent estimates put the value of the privately held company as high as $33 billion. What's interesting here is that Parker's a member of the generation that really gets it, said Stephen Gutwilling, a spokesman for the drug policy. Blah, 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 blah. Shut up. Anyway, they gave you the money, dude, and just don't mess it up. Here is a story from the Houston Chronicle. A 21-year-old Central Texas man allegedly looking for trouble. Well, he found it on Craigslist. A Bell County grand jury had indicted McDarian Lanier Jordan on a felony marijuana possession charge after he allegedly used the classified advertising website to market weed. Bell County Assistant District Attorney Murph Bledsoe told the Killeen what the hell is with the names in this Texas town, man? Anyway, Murph Bledsoe told the Killeen Daily Herald it was as if he were advertising a used car. A Nolanville police officer used the email address in the ad to negotiate the purchase of a pound of weed at a meeting place. Police say they found 14.4 ounces of dope in a shoebox in Jordan's car. Jordan was freed on bond. No telephone number was listed for him. So many stories like that, you know. Is it because we just have more communication, or are dope dealers getting dumber?
I think dope dealers getting dumber because there's more legal way to sell a dope.
Could be. Mom's son's girlfriend charged in pot bust. In Punta Gorda, Florida, a woman and her two sons and the girlfriend of one of the boys were arrested after deputies say they were dealing marijuana out of their Punta Gorda home. Detectives. What am I doing, man? Well, that's not even a word, is it?
What's a detective?
I don't know. It's kind of like the other day when you called Canada, Canadia. Anyway, detectives shut down the operation at 2419 Sunshine Boulevard. Yeah, I'll bet it was. They say they found a half pound of pot and about $26,000 in cash in the house, as well as a notebook that appeared to be a lot of drug sales. Investigators also found numerous plastic baggies, pipes, scales, three pieces of counterfeit currency, and remnants of marijuana cigarettes. Linda Ann, get a load of this name, Linda Ann DeRoach, age 48, is charged with contributing to the delinquency of a minor, possession of marijuana, possession of drug paraphernalia. Patrick Charles DeRoach and his girlfriend, Megan Marie Shalito, are charged with possession of marijuana with intent to distribute, possession of marijuana over 20 grams, all kinds of laws against the possession of marijuana. Anyway, Thomas John DeRoach is charged with violation of probation, possession of marijuana, you get the general idea, right? Okay. The sheriff's office says the two boys have scores of prior arrests between them. The adults bonded out, and Thomas DeRoach was taken to the Department of Juvenile Justice. Get your kids involved. You want to smoke dope and deal dope, that's one thing. Why do you got to get your kids involved, you white trash, you? Study claims short-term memory loss can vary by strain of weed. This is funny. A new study in the British Journal of Psychiatry claims marijuana-related memory impairment is caused by the ratio of THC to cannabidiol. According to the study, the key difference between the types of cannabis is the ratio of two chemicals found in all strains of THC. THC is the primary active ingredient and is responsible for the effects associated with the classic high. The second chemical, cannabidiol, has more calming effects, and brain imaging studies have shown that it can block the psychosis-inducing effects of THC. psychosis-inducing. Oh, yeah. That's what Dr. Stone said.
Yeah, Dr. Stone.
All right. Anyway, skunk-type strains of weed contain a higher ratio of THC to cannabidiol than do hashish or herbal types. The study used 134 pot smoke. In other words, the worse the dope, the less that you'll become psychotic.
Well,
police arrest. I mean, I'm willing to risk psychosis for
good dope.
Exactly. But I don't, you know. Anyway, police arrest 500-pound man on drug dealing charge. So, look at that headline. Police arrest 500-pound man. Why? He couldn't hide it? Or Allentown, Pennsylvania. Two city men were arrested Wednesday for selling marijuana to an Allentown police informant. Jose Wilfredo Rivera, known as Fat Teddy because of his 510-pound frame, and Alexander Flores were arrested shortly after making the deal at 2:25 p.m. Wednesday in the 500 block of North Ellinger Street, according to court records. Rivera, 36, and Flores, 38, that big fat slob, were charged with two counts of possession with intent to deliver marijuana possession. You get the general idea. He was a fat man. He was selling dope. He's under arrest. Hold on, man. Okay, so that's the Dr. Green Thumb report. What's that?
Yeah, but what?
I don't know. I mean, they thought it was funny to report that a fat man was selling dope.
Yeah, because there's no... You're not going to get more high.
Yeah, well, there's going to be more psychosis-inducing effect on account of fat.
You know what? I don't think they've ever done a study like that. No, I agree with you, Robert. You know, they just said, hey, look at this, man. A 500-pound dude was selling dope. Yeah, big fat guy. Okay.
What about that?
What about what, man?
What about, like, fat and what it had to do with what did it say? But
the psychosis-inducing effects.
I don't know. Do I look like a doctor?
Yeah, but they reported that for a reason.
I'm telling you, they reported it not because fat makes marijuana more potent. They reported it because it was a funny headline to them. Big fat man, 500-pound guy, selling pot.
What's funny about that?
I personally, I don't know. I don't particularly. I think it's the idea of a 500-pound guy doing a lot of stuff may be funny, but selling dope, I don't know. And I can't answer your question. Quit bugging me. I had the story to do. Now it's too late.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're sorry. You guys have a great weekend, okay? Bud, Robert, thank you very much. Check us out on philhenryshow.com for our podcasts. philhenryshow.com. Phil Henry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Our technical director is Charles Wagon. The story was Jerry Brown's aide called Meg Whitman a whore. So, you know.
I would have rather to hear about that than a 500-pound man.
Me too.
Phil Hendry.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I'm here. My name's Jane Velez Mitchell. I hope you don't mind if I...
I listened recently, actually a few minutes ago,
Rick,
to...
Rick, what if someone said to you, Rick Sanchez...
We fell asleep. Nobody had an argument. Nobody had a fight.
I'm a big boy.
That's very tough to swallow.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here, the groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, with truth being our bitch on this show, and that's about it. And there's all kinds of ways at getting at the truth. That's right. Don't forget, on our website every night, you can look at a live streaming video of our show. You just go over to philhendryshow.com. That is philhendryshow.com, and you can watch the, as I mentioned, live streaming video of the show, and you can also hear the audio. It streams live, as well as available downloads on our website of all of the shows that we are doing. And tonight, as every night, you can comment along with us on the radio show by going to twitter.com/PhilHendryShow, twitter.com/PhilHendryShow. And if you want to just follow my own personal one, it's twitter.com/RealPhilHendry. Then we have...
Oh, come on, will you, man? How many of these are you going to do?
Yeah.
All right, I'm sorry, okay?
Get 15 different sites. Nobody can write them down.
I got it, all right? You can talk to me about this off the air, if you don't mind. NTSB, errant pilots were using laptops. story that we covered briefly for you earlier in the show. We're going to bring on Art Griego. Mr. Griego is a retired charter pilot, actually. Some 25 years flying charter flights and all of these passenger flights. And Art joins us from Santa Monica, California tonight. Art, this is a story that you and I have talked about pilots and safety and air safety for a long time. This is an interesting story. And do you buy the explanation that these guys were on their laptops?
I believe it, Phil. I don't think there's any doubt that these men are telling the truth. When you get in front of the NTSB, you get in front of the FAA, you tell the truth. I don't think there's a pilot out there that doesn't know that, because sooner or later they're going to find the truth, and the truth will be known by the investigators. It's better that you go in and tell them what you were doing. These guys were on their laptop computers. I don't think that's all they... I don't think there's any more needs to be said, whether they were truthful about what it was they were accessing. The NTSB doesn't want to know. The FAA doesn't want to know. They say that they were accessing, some kind of a flight manual.
Yeah, it was work-related data.
Or some kind of work-related data, as you say. I doubt seriously if that was the case, having been a pilot myself, but... This never needed to happen, and that's the point that I think your audience needs to understand. This never needed to happen, but it happened because pilots and even passengers are being harassed in many ways by the airlines themselves, by these federal agencies. And here we go again. Barack Obama's big federal government. These federal agencies that are willing to harass a man out of his job, frighten the public, and none of this needed to happen.
All right, let's get into that. Why do you say this story, these Northwest pilots, who told federal investigators, by the way, they were going over schedules, overshot their airport by 150 miles, Minneapolis, St. Paul. What do you mean by it didn't need to happen?
Well, first of all, the passengers didn't know that this had happened, because pilots are aware and passengers are aware, and there's an unspoken agreement between pilots, between the flight crew and the passengers. The unspoken agreement that's been in effect for decades is the passengers don't want to know, and they don't want you to tell them. They don't want the truth. They are comfortable in knowing that you're flying the plane and whatever's happening is going to happen, they don't want to know about it. And that, I think that's a normal reaction.
They don't want to know about it?
Passengers don't want to know what's happening in the cockpit, because we are dealing with, on any given flight, we could be dealing with a number of situations that are going to do nothing more than scare the passengers, alarm them. And the passengers know that. So they don't want to know. And so when these two pilots discovered that they'd overshot their airline, or overshot the airport, they simply harnessed up and redirected the aircraft to Minneapolis, St. Paul. The passengers were none the wiser. The flight attendants are obviously going to, they know to keep their mouths shut. And by that, I mean, that sounds a little harsh.
Yes, it does. Sounds like almost they're going to be threatened or something.
No. They just know to keep their mouths shut. And the pilots landed the plane. Now, what happened was the airline, because Northwest Airline has had some public relations problems in the past with drinking pilots and with the Muslims that have been kicked off the plane because they're talking about blowing up half the world, or I don't know, there was a bomb threat or something.
No, those were Muslims that were taken off the plane because there was a concern by a fellow passenger, and it turned out that there was no threat. And I guess what you're talking about, the bad publicity?
Yeah, well, there was a lot of bad publicity around that, because people thought that the Northwest Corporation was a bigoted organization that threw anybody with a turban, threw them right out onto the tarmac. And so they didn't need that. And what they wanted to do was make sure that they didn't get any bad publicity, so they went public. And in so doing, ratted out their pilots and ratted out their flight crew. And I think it's unfortunate, because then...
Well, now, let's hold on for a minute. The pilots were
missing, not missing, but the NTSB, the various flight air traffic control centers were trying to hail these guys long before they discovered there was a problem.
That doesn't make any difference. If they weren't, what I'm talking about is going public with this. One of the things that pilots know, and even the people that run Northwest Airlines know this, as we said, the passengers don't want to know what's going on in the cockpit, because if you are, for instance, wrestling with a blown engine, or you've run out of fuel because you were on your laptop too long, or...
Have you ever heard of a plane running out of fuel because a guy was on his laptop too long?
Well, I can tell you this much. If a plane is to run out of fuel because you overshoot your airport, you are not to blame as a pilot. This, again, is the airline. Because of the bad pay, you automatically are not getting paid as much as you used to, so your performance is going to drop to that level of pay. This is something that any worker understands.
Wait. Run that by me again. If you're not making as much money...
If you're not making as much money as you used to, and we all know that pilots, the salary of pilots has gone way down, the instinct, and it's a subconscious instinct, is to drop your performance level. So if you're making, at one time, $200,000 a year, and now you're making $30 an hour, you're going to go from being a $200,000 a year pilot all the way down to a $30 an hour pilot, and that means you're going to be overshooting some airports, you're going to have your laptop open, and the airlines know this, and yet they don't tell the public about that. What they tell the public about is the guy overshooting his aircraft or his airport.
We're talking with Art Griego, a former commercial pilot, on the Phil Hendry Show here this evening, a number 1-877-876-PHIL. Let's get back to this thing about the passengers not wanting the truth. That sounds extremely subjective.
The passengers don't want to know the truth, because if you have an engine out, or your co-pilot has passed out or is incapacitated, the passengers don't like honesty. They always want to feel secure. And this happens all the time, and we're not going to tell them. I mean, I'll give you an example. I overshot a flight, a charter flight from Chicago to Tampa, Florida, and I overshot it by more than 150 miles. We were well past the Keys when I discovered that we had overshot the airport.
Why did you overshoot the airport?
I don't want to get into that right now, but I mean, there was a reason. But the point I'm making is we overshot the airport at Tampa by a good 400, 500 miles. I turned it around, I landed it at Tampa, and there wasn't one of those people getting off the plane that said to me, oh, we overshot the airport. The pilot, passengers don't know what overshooting an airport is. They're not even sure if airplanes fly in a straight line. I mean, literally. You can ask a passenger, is this plane going from Chicago to Tampa in a straight line? Is it going to zigzag? Will we go north 1,000 miles and then head south? They won't know. And so you can fly that way, and people are not going to ask any questions. And so the airline is who I blame here.
That's a heck of a statement there, Art.
Well, Phil, I'm telling you, I flew for 20 years. I flew south, past Tampa, almost to the Keys. I flew an aircraft from Los Angeles to Honolulu. And we had overshot the Honolulu airport by at least 500 miles. I was dead out over the Pacific Ocean, and there wasn't any airstrip nearby. I had to turn around and get in on fumes, basically. We were almost out of gas. And when we landed, there wasn't one passenger that said anything out of the ordinary other than, thank you. And I said, well, thank you for flying with us. And that's it.
You almost ran out of fuel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But you're not going to get on. What am I going to get on the horn and say, excuse me, folks, we're almost running out of gas because I overshot the airport. So would you please get into your seatbelts? And you don't do that. No pilot, no real pilot does that.
All right, Art, but we'll be back here after a break, but you have to answer this question for me. If a guy overshoots the airport, you're saying no big deal, just keep it quiet. The passengers don't need to know.
The passengers don't want to know. They don't want you to come on the thing and say, Oh, you know what? I'm 150 miles past the Target airport because I was on Facebook.
And on Facebook?
A lot of guys are, yeah, because of the salary situation. And because I'm not, do you really want me to get on the horn and say to people, I overshot the airport because I don't make the money I used to, so I'm flying at the salary grade that I'm at right now, which means I'll overshoot a lot of airports and I may run out of fuel. Do you really want me to do it? I don't think you do.
All right, we'll be back here with Art Griego. Our number 877-876-PHIL as we talk about the Northwest pilots who overshot Minneapolis-St. Paul by 150 miles. It came out that they were on their laptop computers accessing some kind of flight data or information, company information. Is that the case, or were they doing something else, like being on Facebook? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, coming back in a moment.
Phil Hendry.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
On the line with me here is Art Griego, retired pilot. We're talking about Northwest Airlines and the Northwest incident with two pilots overshooting Minneapolis-St. Paul. The news today that they were on their laptops and that they had overshot the airport because they were distracted. And you were saying, Art, that the passengers don't want honesty. And it's a very interesting thing that you're saying.
Phil, to tell you this, you have to lie and keep your passengers in the dark on a lot of things. One of the things we refer to passengers sometimes as mushrooms. And the reason why we refer to passengers as mushrooms is that we feed them a lot of BS and we keep them in the dark. And that sounds bad, but the average passenger gets it. See, if our passengers, you know, we want them to keep coming back to the airline. You understand?
And yeah, I understand that.
So if we tell them Evelyn into some kind of a seizure, he had swallowed his own tongue. And on that very same flight, we'd lost an engine in a thunderstorm. You want me going on the horn and saying, hey, ladies and gentlemen, our co-pilot just swallowed his tongue, and we're on our way into a lightning storm. Brother.
I'm not saying that you should do that. But the statement that passengers want you to lie...
Yes, lie. As if they asked me directly, are you guys okay, I'd say, never better. Even with a man swallowing his own tongue next to me. You've got to understand, Phil, how it works. I was in my youth. I flew drunk. Now, this was many, many years ago. But I sobered up while we were in the air. Am I supposed to go on to talk back and tell everybody I was doing shots minutes before we took off?
Why would you do that? Why were you doing shots before you took off?
A guy's bachelor party. It got out of control, and we were in Buenos Aires, Argentina. And those people, if you've ever been to Argentina, have you ever been to Argentina?
No.
Well, there's no way I can explain to you how it's impossible. It's impossible once you go to a bachelor party in Argentina to fly sober.
Well, I got to figure that one out. All right, here is Elaine in Rockford, Illinois. Elaine, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Art Griego. Good evening.
Hi.
Hi.
I think this person is absurd, what he's saying, and using all of these unfounded excuses as to why these pilots were negligent. The average passenger is a reasonably intelligent person. No, I don't want to know about a blown engine or something that's going to be tragic. But I do want to know if I'm not going to arrive at my destination on time because of somebody's negligence, not somebody's unforeseen circumstance, but negligence, and that's what it is.
That doesn't make any sense, what you're saying.
You know,
what you're saying makes no sense. You're saying
talking about underpaid and all these other things, and
exactly.
You know,
we are underpaid.
I'm not going to get on a plane, and I can observe people. I'm old enough and been around long enough to see that somebody is intoxicated. You know, the pilots are standing there. Or
you don't know
smell.
If the pilot. No, you can't see the pilot. The door's closed. How do you see the pilot?
When
and
you walk on
is,
the plane, when you board a plane, the pilots are
you
standing
can't.
There.
No way. No way.
There's
no, not always. Sometimes we're going through our flight check. I don't, you know, so we're not always standing there. Now, the other thing you need to remember is this. If I got on the horn and I said, folks, we've overshot the airport because I was on Facebook Are you going to want to know that? No, because you're going to think
that
I'm
know that, but
mentally retarded.
I wonder if you have an unaccompanied minor on that plane and somebody is waiting for them at their destination. You need to tell these people that you have created a problem and it's not an unforeseen circumstance. You're responsible. You have an ethical responsibility to all passengers on board and
then
the flight crew.
Then panic would break. Then
panic
breaks out. Panic will break out.
What do you mean panic will break out?
If you start talking about we're going to crash or say something just totally just insane to alarm the passengers. But
it's insane for me to say, hey, we overshot the airport because I was checking on my messages on Facebook. You don't want me to do that either.
That's negligence.
Well,
you need to tell the passengers.
You're the kind of passenger.
You don't have to.
The kind of passenger
who's going
to panic, Elaine. I'm sorry to have to tell you this, Elaine, but I can tell by the profile, you're the kind of passenger that will panic and try to get into the cockpit.
Oh, come on.
I won't try to get into any cockpit.
Yes, you will.
Make me late for a business meeting, a connecting flight, or
right, what about
because
that?
You're being negligent, I am not going
we'll
to
say,
panic, but I am not going to be
in
happy,
that instance, if that's what she's talking about.
Again.
Right.
What?
You won't fly with the airline if I told you we're overshooting the airport.
No, I will not because you're being negligent.
Right, so I'm not going to tell you. See?
And
there,
That's your irresponsibility. And that's
wait a minute. What do you mean? What do you mean you got her?
If I'm honest and I say we overshot the airport because I was chatting with some woman on a stripper, and not that I'm doing that, but then she won't fly with the airport. If I lie to her and not tell her, she will fly with the airline.
And that's probably why you're sitting at home calling because you're retired or you were probably dismissed from the airline because of your negligence.
What? You don't make any sense. Or what? First of all, you told me that you don't want to know. So if I didn't tell you, then you wouldn't
know.
I don't
know,
want to
know.
Wait a minute. Elaine brought up a good point. What about the plane being late for a connecting flight or for someone who needs to meet a child or someone who is infirmed? What about that?
That's when we tell the flight attendant to say we had headwinds. That speaks to
come on.
Have you ever heard headwinds?
You act like you're talking to a bunch of idiots. I think you're an absolute idiot.
How many times have you heard behind the cockpit of a plane? Behind the cockpit of a plane? No, you're supposed to sit in the cockpit.
I don't care. That's why you're not flying one right now. You probably were never a pilot. I don't know. You might have been doing flight simulation on the computer, but, you know, I can't believe
it. Well, ma'am, that's like saying you've never been a passenger. That's like saying you've never been a passenger. That's a ridiculous statement.
I fly regularly, and there's no airline that would allow someone as incompetent as yourself.
What about this late thing?
How many times have you heard a flight attendant say we've had headwinds? Okay, that's what we say.
So if we're late getting into an airport because you guys were on Facebook or whatever it was that you're saying, you're saying to me that you'll get the flight attendant to say we had headwinds?
Yeah. Everybody knows what a headwind is. And, again, that woman proved my point. She doesn't want to know the truth. If I told her, she'd be breaking down the door of the cockpit, and we've got, God forgive me, we got United 93 all over again.
Oh, come on. We'll be back on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
I'm sorry, but I had to.
Phil Hendry Show, the number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, as we talk with Art Griego, retired charter commercial pilot, about the Northwest Airlines flight that was 150 miles past its destination before the pilots of that aircraft recognized their error and turned it around and landed it in Minneapolis-St. Paul. You know what? I forget where the flight was originating from. Bud, do you know?
Well, check with Rance and find out.
I think maybe it was California. I don't know. Art, do you know?
I don't know, Phil, and it's not important. I think the important thing is what that last lady, I'm still thinking about that last lady I just talked to, who really bothered me.
Why?
Well, she wasn't like I was saying to you, the passengers don't want to know the truth, and She just clearly said that if I had been honest and I had said that we have overshot our airport because I was on my laptop doing a status update on Facebook or whatever it was that the pilot, you know, is going to do, she's the first thing she's going to do is run to the office of my airline and rat me out and, you know, just rat me out and run me off. And so where is the percentage for a pilot, to be honest?
Well, I don't know, Art. I mean, you're the pilot. I'm the passenger. I asked you the question about overshooting the airport if people have to make a connector.
I told you, headwinds is generally what...
You guys will come on and say, oh, we got some headwinds, so we're running a little late.
Yes.
And what happens when you bank the aircraft and turn it around?
You tell people that you're circling the airport.
And you still got 150 miles to go.
People are not, Phil, I'm telling you. The passengers don't want to know. The less you tell them, the happier they are. You tell them we're circling the airport and you're flying 150 miles, which is generally going to take another hour, well, you know, another half hour, they're going to just, that's fine, whatever. So you're circling the airport for a half hour. When does that not happen in your life?
877-876-PHIL, talking here with Art Griego on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go over to a phone call now. In Indianapolis, we've got Kevin. Kevin, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What can we do for you, sir?
Well, first, Art, thank you for your service that you've given our society. But I do have to say this. Pilots are held to a higher standard, and their first responsibility is safety to the individuals that they fly. So based on that, I really believe in your heart of hearts, you're going to go up there, you're going to do the best job you can to bring everybody home safely.
Well, yeah. I'm doing that, though, to make sure they come back to the airline and we get some return business.
Okay, great.
Right. And you got to understand that in my mind, and I know what they tell us, but I think the most important thing is to get business back with the airline. And if I get on a horn and I tell people about, you know, we overshot the airport because my co-pilot was swallowing his tongue, they ain't going to be flying with us anytime soon. I'm sure you'd agree with that.
Well, okay, whatever your motivation, please allow me to speak. Just allow me to speak.
Yeah. I understand, but would you go on the horn and say, you know, the co-pilot just had a heart attack?
Okay,
so that's why we're going to be late.
Art, let me. Art, let me speak, okay?
Or would you say?
Let the man say what he wants to say.
Speak, Art. Just please give me some respect here. All that is fine if that's how you want to run your plane. That's fine if that's how you think you should do it. Yes, you need to have the people come back for business, but the premise about, I think also the
Wait,
problem...
That's how I roll, you know.
Okay, Art,
great.
Please finish.
I'm just telling you, that's how I roll.
That's how you roll. Great. Go ahead, Kevin.
Okay, so the thing is, we have to have people flying our planes that are thinking about our safety as well. So thinking about bringing us back for more business, fine, but safety is the first premise, and
Naturally. Now, of course, safety, it goes right along with that. You're saying something that is redundant. Of course.
No, I'm not.
But I will tell you something. Yes, you are, because, look, I'll ask you this question. Tell me where I'm wrong. How many airlines have you heard going out of business because one of them burst into flames and crashed into the ocean? None. How many airlines have you heard go out of business because they let everybody in on their personal business and everyone got to stick their nose into how they run their airline, and the next thing you know, nobody wants to fly them? A lot of them.
What? That didn't make any sense.
Have you ever heard of an airline going out of business because a plane flew right into the side of a mountain? No. Have you ever heard of an airline going out of...
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Which one?
Well, you had it wasn't JetBlue one of those that crashed in Florida and then they went out of business for safety?
No, ValueJet. ValueJet.
Okay.
But they crashed in a swamp. And that,
okay.
that has no bearing.
Okay. Well,
that's not an example. They've crashed. They ran out of business because the planes looked like hell, and everybody sat down. It was like a garbage dump in there.
Oh, bull crap! This man's right. ValueJet went out of business in part because of that exploding thing in the cockpit that caused them to crash into the damn swamp.
Well, this gentleman thinks it's funny.
I never heard anybody
laugh about the ValueJet crash.
I think Art, you had too many Jägermeister.
That's interesting. I'm a pilot. I'm a pilot. You're not, so, I feel good about that. I feel really good about being a pilot, and that guy's not a pilot.
You don't make any sense when you say how many airlines have got out of business because they crashed.
All kinds of airlines are. Look at Delta Airlines. You name all the major airlines, and they've. Oh, and this stuff about Qantas has never had a crash. I don't buy that at all. I bet you if I did enough research, I'd find one Qantas, just one Qantas jet, that was on fire somewhere, and that went, you know, way, way down. Didn't was just on fire because, you know, they were cleaning it and somebody left its cigarette burning. And there was nobody on it. I mean, there had to have been at least one Qantas jet that was on fire and then was in a vertical dive for at least 20,000 feet.
Oh, yeah, sure. Why?
Because it's impossible. It's just impossible. But none of them go out of business is my point. The ones that stay in business are the ones that can crash an aircraft, it explodes, and they never do find any, you know, survivors. And the next week, you forget all about it, and you're booking your family to Disney World on it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, tell me I'm wrong.
You know what, man? Those are really bad. Safety record is extremely important for people. Here's Gary. Gary, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Art Griego, sir.
All right, I got a couple questions for you. What airline did you fly for?
I flew a charter service.
Where'd you fly?
Sunflower. It was called Sunflower Charter. And we flew in California, flew on the coast of California. What's that?
What type of airplane was it?
Well, these were a small private jet.
Okay, so you were
a small private jet, so it's not a...
I was flying it with a guitar.
Right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay. Well, you know as well as I do, anytime, especially up here in the Northeast, that's such a small region, as many control towers as they have. Anytime you're flying through there, you have to be in contact with a control tower. I want to know how it is.
They weren't in the Northeast. They were over the Minnesota and the Upper Plains states.
Oh, okay. Turned the radio on. I heard
everything.
All that.
That changes everything. See?
Yeah. Well,
okay,
what about you? You say you flew
more area, but you're within. 150 miles of the airport, you have flown through their airspace, and you have to talk to them.
Yes, you do, but we're not talking about any of that. We're talking about whether you should let the passengers know, and I say, no, you don't. I don't care if one of the flight attendants is having a baby in the cockpit because you don't want her out there doing it on the floor in front of everyone. You don't say anything. You know.
Oh, what a ridiculous, asynine example.
Really?
Well,
it happened to me. It happened to me. Thank you.
Okay.
Am I going to tell you that? Oh, we're going to be late tonight because one of the flight attendants just had twins. you think it's funny, Phil? People will get me fired. And if I'm honest about that stuff, there'll be some old lady that'll come running. She'll go straight for the airline office and rat me out.
Well, to an extent, but you do have to let the people know something.
Oh. Why? Why do I got to let them know that my co-pilot swallowed his tongue because he didn't take any epilepsy medicine?
All right, how about this?
You
take your car to a shop, and you're taking it in to get fixed. Now, this is just someone in control letting someone else know what's going on. You take your car into the shop, you sit there all day, and you expect to be in and out. They give it to you 5 minutes before they close. You want to know what the hell's going on. You got to tell them something.
Yeah, you don't have to tell them the truth. Got it. Bingo. Sink it. 3 points. That's exactly what I'm talking about, my man. And if you tell the people, some of these people like that old lady we were just talking to, Phil, who would run over there to the airline office.
Yeah, I know, and rat you out and say that you were late because you said that we were late because I was on Facebook and I was doing a status update.
Well, you can laugh if you want, you can make all the jokes, you can get your jollies off, but it's happened. I've been in this business too long not to have seen it happen, and that's how you deal with it.
All right, one final call here. We got Ryan. Ryan, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Art Griego. Go ahead.
What's up, man?
How are you, sir?
I would just like to point out, I don't agree with everything this guy says at all, because he's clearly gone off the deep end since I got on the line with you guys. But as someone who flies
the deep end
every week, yeah, you went off the deep end. Talking about strippers or something, and
I was just saying, am I supposed to be honest with that old lady?
Clearly is one of them. Now, listen to me. I'm going to agree with you for a second. I'm going to agree with you, so give me a second.
But I just want to ask your opinion as a pilot.
I fly.
Am I supposed to be honest with an old lady?
I do not want
to. You know is going
to
run to the airline office.
Horribly wrong. Hey, can you mute him a second?
She wants to hang me up with a noose.
I didn't call
she wants to be swinging.
All right, go ahead, sir.
But, jeez, I fly a lot. I do not want to know every little trivial thing that goes wrong in the air. Yeah, I don't fly. I'm a passenger. I travel a lot, business. I don't want to know every time something small goes wrong, you know? I want to have a nice, clean flight, land, go on about my business every time.
Exactly.
However, if it's something like negligence, that should be dealt with. Someone drinking on Facebook, that should not be happening at all. There should be internal investigation, getting rid of
it. Do you want to know about it? You don't want to know about it, though, right?
No. No, I don't. It should be internal.
Internal
investigation, and they should be getting rid of them. That I do agree with you on that. However,
that's my whole point.
Should not
why did it go public? Why did it go public? That's my point. Why did they have to? Why did they have to expose these pilots and make them look like schnooks? You know, you're paying me $20 an hour, and I don't make that much money. Not all that many women are attracted to pilots anymore because we don't make that kind of money anymore. So you got to
think about
Facebook
that. That's your own choice
to drum
for your job.
Business.
You know, if they cut the pay, you don't
well,
like
but,
it.
But yeah, but
job.
What you say well, you got to get on like Facebook? Yeah, go ahead.
You know,
sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Ryan, but you say getting on Facebook and drumming up business.
If women are not going out with pilots the way they used to because we don't make the kind of money we used to,
see this guy,
we got to get on Facebook.
He's a pilot. He's flying with hundreds of people. You're flying with like hundreds of people's lives, you know,
in your
plane, okay? And you're worried about Facebook because you don't get paid. Get another job. There's jobs everywhere. You don't like what you're getting paid? Go somewhere else.
It's on autopilot.
I really want to know that. Are you serious about this, Art? You're on Facebook?
You guys are talking about airline safety. I'm talking about airline safety. But because I don't agree with people,
You're talking about flying drunk, so you're not talking about airline safety.
No, I said I did that when I was younger. When I was
younger. It doesn't matter. You did it when you were flying. It doesn't matter. You're a pilot and you did it. So clearly, you're not worried about safety.
Yeah.
You're worried about doing whatever you want to do, and the money.
I was 22. Let me ask you something. You've never been 22 and drunk. You were never 22 years old, and you were never at a bachelor party.
I've never been 22 years old and drunk and flying a plane in charge of other people's lives. That's never happened.
No, what were you? 22 years old and driving a forklift? Same difference.
Oh yeah, sure.
You're gonna be.
Yeah. So this dude's a total joke.
All right. Look.
No, if it's a joke, because you're not even a pilot. And you're telling me my business.
What's that going to make you? You're some cool pilot guy. Yeah. You're a good pilot.
Yeah, I am.
You're drunk.
I'm cooler than you.
And you're chatting with strippers.
I'm cooler than you.
Yeah.
I'm cooler than you.
Yeah.
How many strippers chat with you? How many strippers chat
with
you?
I don't need to chat with strippers.
All right.
Where did you take this guy up? Seriously.
Are they really going to chat with a guy working the warehouse over there at Fedco?
All right. Thank you very much, sir. And that was an unnecessary comment there at the end of the discourse there, Art. Work in the warehouse at Fedco.
Look, these people get on here, and suddenly, I'm the bad guy. You know why I'm the bad guy? Because the airlines want me to be the bad guy. Because the NTSB wants me to be the bad guy. Because the FAA wants me to be the bad guy. I'm trying to drum up a little business because I don't make the kind of money.
Drumming up business while you're flying the plane.
Let me ask you a question. If I've been on that plane looking at those flight charts and looking at those flight schedules like those other guys, what difference does it make if I was on Facebook or looking at the flight schedules?
Well, in one instance, you're
yeah. Go ahead, Porky. What?
See you later.
Don't you hang up.
That you know that guy's right. That guy is a joke. Here's a guy that flew as a charter pilot. Why don't we get a commercial pilot?
I try to get a couple of them, but they're too scared to talk about it and everything. It's omerta.
What do you mean omerta?
Yeah, you don't know omerta. Like that's the code blue, man.
No can do. My lips are sealed.
Oh, bull crap. I bet you I could get one. All right, so that's Art Griego talking about NTSB. And I got a feeling, man, the stories that we dealt with tonight, especially the NTSB, the swine flu, and then, of course, the one that we got to get into more, the cell phone situation with brain tumors. There's going to be a lot more to say about it in the days and in the weeks to come. You're listening to the world-famous, groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show, the stories we couldn't get to coming up next.
Hey, Porky.
Hang up on him.
Hey, Porky, let me ask you.
Phil Hendry.
Time now for the stories we couldn't get to tonight. We should have got to them a lot sooner. Especially with that art. A man has admitted banking more than $470,000 in paychecks from a company he never worked for. 35-year-old Anthony Armatis of Palatine, Illinois, pled guilty on Monday in New Jersey Superior Court to one count of theft as part of a plea bargain. Prosecutors say Armatis accepted a job with Basking Ridge, New Jersey-based telecommunications company Avea Incorporated in September of 2002, then changed his mind. But the company's computer system never removed him from the payroll. Paychecks were deposited into his bank account until February of 2007 when Avea auditors discovered the mistake. This cat didn't show up for work for 5 years and kept his job. Prosecutors are recommending a 6-year prison term and restitution. Sentencing is scheduled for January the 8th. Let's see, that's 5 years, $470,000. That's less than $100,000 a year.
That's a cheap job.
Yeah, but he didn't have to do anything for it, man. Levi Johnston will almost definitely exhibit full frontal nudity in Playgirl next month. Thank you. In other news... No, Levi Johnston will almost definitely exhibit full frontal nudity in Playgirl next month, his manager says. Manager Tank Jones is, quote, 90% sure that Johnston will bear all. Little does Levi know that mostly only gay men read Playgirl now, not straight women. Nothing wrong with gay men, but something tells me Levi would be going to be really disappointed when he finds out that most of the fan mail comes from dudes. Anyway, TMZ reported in September that the former boyfriend of Bristol Palin wasn't sure whether he would show the front or the back. A representative of the magazine told the New York Post that the shoot will happen in mid-November in order to get the pictures out for the holidays. Anyway, we're working on the actual details day by day and have come to a very happy conclusion, which we feel readers will be enthralled by, the rep said. Johnston has been working out 6 days a week in preparation for the big reveal. However, there's one part of his body that all the working out in the world ain't going to improve on.
Yeah, what's that?
His brain. All right. In Mendota Heights, Minnesota, motorists in Mendota Heights might have seen a group of residents picking up trash while packing heat this weekend. About a dozen people spent nearly 3 hours picking up litter Sunday along a 2-mile stretch of highway, all legally carried guns on their hips. It was the inaugural trash cleanup event for the group that calls itself the Minnesota Carry Permit Holders. The Minnesota Department of Transportation said the group is legal and it appreciates their efforts to keep the roadside clean. The group members met online and decided to get together and do something good for the community. One member is Jason Wahlberg, who collected trash with a semi-automatic handgun on his belt. He jokes their adopted highway is the safest stretch of road in the state. No doubt. In Oslo, Norway, a man has been arrested in Norway trying to smuggle 24 snakes and geckos into the country by hiding them under his clothes. Customs agent Helge Brilid said Monday the 22-year-old Norwegian citizen was apprehended in the southern town of Kristiansand after getting off a ferry in Hirtshals. That was in Denmark. He'd get off the ferry and then said goodbye. He said the man had 14 royal pythons and 10 albino leopard geckos under his clothes. This has got to be horse crap.
How's that possible?
Anyway, Breland said the non-venomous snakes, the smallest species in the python family, were hidden in stockings, duct taped to the man's abdomen. The geckos were in boxes, taped to his thighs. What a weird ass. Anyway, he got arrested, and I guess the geckos are all safe. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is .com for our live-streaming video of every single show, live-streaming audio as well, and, of course, downloads available. Until tonight or tomorrow morning, a very pleasant good morning from El Pacifico.
Phil Hendry.